G'day, it's Graham from the Confident Man Project. And today I've got a friend of mine online whose name is Dunstan. And Dunstan is a very interesting guy. He's on a similar kind of path of personal growth, development, towards confidence and consciousness to myself. And I think a lot of other guys will be able to relate to what Dunstan has to say. So Dunstan and I thought it would be interesting if we just got together and had a bit of a chat about what's going on in our lives and the things that we're finding most helpful in our personal growth. So welcome, Dunstan.
Thanks, Graham.
No worries. So it's been a little while since we caught up with each other. What have you been up to lately?
Well, I always seem to have about 100 things on at once, which is makes life exciting. And I just got back from a week up in Byron Bay doing a course called Master Your Destiny, The Seven Secrets of Magic, which is run by a guy called William Whitecloud, who wrote a book called The Magician's Way, which has been really a good read and really changed my life. And yeah, it's been this week's been one of the biggest weeks of my life for sure. So yeah.
Wow.
And that's a start. So yeah, how about you, Graham?
Oh, look, a similar deal. I've been doing a few different courses. But actually the biggest thing that's been making a difference to me lately is just stopping, like learning to chill out and slow down and not be driven all the time by, well, it's driven by fear, really. Anxiety is what's underneath it all. But just allowing myself to stop, slow down. I do a lot of meditation now. I do a lot of guided relaxations. And yeah, I spend a lot of time out in my backyard lying under this beautiful gum tree. It's summer down here nowadays. So just chilling out. And that's been fantastic. I've just gradually felt my sense of just background anxiety gradually reducing as I do that. And you know, I feel myself just being more present and more able to relate to other people and just generally feeling better. So
I'm imagining you sitting there in your hammock as we speak, and I'm sipping on a coconut, so life is good.
yes, life is good. And it's only when I really stop and take a bit of time out to really appreciate that I notice, you know, how nice it is. So, yeah, it's a good thing, you know, just a bit of gratitude as well. Feeling a bit of gratitude for my life and, you know, the good things I got.
I just had a thought, Graham. It just came to me then about what is confidence. And I'm really, like, I had something that came through, and I'm wondering what your what do you mean by confident? Obviously, in the context of confident man, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, look, I don't even have an off the top of my head definition, like a dictionary definition for it. It's basically a sense of ease with who you are. It's probably the simplest way to put it. So a sense of just being okay in the world, being comfortable in situations, particularly social situations are the ones that shows up in most, I think. But generally just feeling okay about everything, you know, just being where you're at and being okay with that. And knowing that you can handle anything. So, you know, you still get anxious. I still get anxious in situations. That never goes away. But just developing a sense that that's okay and that you can deal with it and, you know, everything's all right. So it's pretty broad. It's a pretty broad kind of definition. Yeah. What about you? What does it mean to you?
Yeah. Look, I resonated with everything you were saying, and I guess the intuition that came through to me was, or just the thought that just came through that I've never really consciously realized is, you know, I think people think a confident man is someone who's really, you know, who's out there, you know, living a great life, or, you know, has certain things or does certain things. And What I just realized then is that it's for me, it means knowing myself, and it means really accepting me. You know, and there's times where I'm living wild adventures or kite surfing or, you know, doing something that people go, yeah, that's pretty cool. And also sometimes it means, you know, I might be lying in my bed with my hands on my belly crying. And, you know, which isn't stereotypically, you know, you're not going to sell any pairs of Levi jeans with a man who's doing that. But it's for me, it's to be comfortable with all parts of myself and to enjoy the, yeah, because I don't know if I'm making my point clearly, but just And I think in the past, I divided life into positive and negative experiences. I've heard it referred to as the game of black and white, where you try to have as many of the white ones as you can and get rid of all the black ones.
Uh-huh.
And obviously it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I experienced depression for a while and from trying to suppress that, the black. But my point is that for me, I feel that the sort of the generally accepted version of confidence is to love the white ones, to love the white aspects of self. And it feels like that my journey has been to really accept, discover, explore, and get comfortable with the dark sides of myself.
It's a bit of a paradox how doing that actually provides more access to the white stuff as well. But you've got to be prepared to go there and have your dark times and confront the things you're uncomfortable about and stop avoiding all those unpleasant feelings in order to get more of the good ones.
I find it refreshing too. Like, I love it when we catch up and I say, so how are you doing, Graham? And, you know, most people go, yeah, good. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling quite edgy.
So yeah, I actually tell people now.
It's good. It feels real.
Okay. So, look, tell me about this William Whitecloud stuff, because the way you described it sounded very fascinating, and I'm keen to pick your brains about what you got from it.
Well, I guess my starting point is always really with any workshop. I mean, I do a lot of different things, as you do, and I guess my bottom line, no bullshit test is how my life is different afterwards, because mm-hmm. it's all good and well to go to a workshop and, you know, be in an amazing environment with other people who are trying to be more conscious or whatever and have that experience at the workshop. But the real test for me is what happens when I come back into my life. This has been, I didn't even have a low period after this week. And just a little example, I just feel really rested into myself, really comfortable with me. And I just went down to the shops to pick up some coconuts. And, it was different. I felt like people were treating me differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mainly women I interacted with. And there were lots of smiles. And the woman in the supermarket, I was picking up a whole stack of coconuts. And she actually offered to go and get a trolley for me. And with a big smile on her face, ran off to get the trolley for me and brought it back. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even ask. I didn't know it wouldn't ask. And so I feel that people are, that I'm carrying, I feel like I'm in a different energy, and people can sense that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the outcome that feels.
That's amazing. So tell me, do you think that's because you're putting out something differently, or do you think you're just more receptive to what's going on around you now?
It's a good question.
Both?
Yeah, I feel like it's both. And we did do an exercise, which was raising your vibration, where we were guided to kind of, to feel inside our bodies and visualize the vibration going to a higher and higher pitch. Uh-huh. And I actually felt it. My body started to literally physically shake and vibrate a little bit.
Yeah.
So I feel that's true. But one of the big themes that came through for me on the workshop was actually being open to receiving, because I noticed that I stay safe behind feeling superior.
Yeah.
To other people. And there is a great book which many of your readers, your listeners may know, called The Way of the Superior Man.
Yeah.
By David Data.
My favorite.
Mine too. And but you know, I was using arrogance as a way to keep myself safe by projecting that, you know, thinking in my head I'm better than these other people. So, you know, this is a habit of the past, thinking I'm better than other people, and it's just a strategy for me to avoid my discomfort. And so one of the big themes for me was learning to just receive from other people and accept the beautiful gifts that people have. And as soon as I drop my story, I start to realize, you know, it could be a smile from the person who's gone to get me a trolley for my coconuts, or it could be deep wisdom, and just to be open to that. So you said about sensing the environment around me. I feel, I was very good at giving from my heart, but I feel like my heart's more open to receiving. And there were a whole lot of knots, physically tightness behind my heart, where now that seems more open and relaxed. So that feels good.
Yeah, I got it. Like, it's fascinating to me how a lot of this stuff just works on a subconscious level. and in both directions. So like when we're out in the world feeling really fearful, not really trusting other people can sense that in us because we've got this subconscious connection with other people. And likewise, when we don't expect that other people are going to be very nice to us or very giving towards us, that then that's what we see. So, because our subconscious filters out all the evidence that goes against our belief that people aren't good to us, right? Like our subconscious is constantly looking for evidence to justify our existing subconscious beliefs. So when we go and do some of this kind of work that you've described and actually let go of some of the negative beliefs that we have about ourselves and about the world, we both start putting out this different energy and we start noticing other stuff that we just didn't see before. It's completely mind-blowing to me.
I'm totally on the same page with that. I love the way you've put that into words. And then an example of that is just as we mentioned earlier, just for two blokes to catch up, and one of them say, "Yeah, how are you doing?" And the other guy go, "Yeah, I'm a bit edgy." And it sort of feels like that clears the decks for an authentic connection, because chances are, I think I felt that a bit earlier. When we started this conversation, I sort of felt a little. And it's like, hey, okay, it's okay to be nervous. Cool, we can embrace that and get on with it. Feels more real. So.
It's pretty amazing. I actually started a date with that once. Like I went to this girl from overseas. It was in the country. We had a mutual friend. She ended up in my city for the weekend by herself, and she rang me and said, "Hey, do you want to get together and just hang out?" And I thought, "Oh, that sounds like fun." So it wasn't really a date, but it was kind of like a first date in a way. And when I went to meet her at her hotel, she said, "Hey, Graham, how you doing?" And for that moment, I had like this decision point. Like, do I do the normal thing and just say, "Oh, yeah, feel good, feel," just give her nothing? Or do I actually say what's really going on, which is I hadn't been feeling very well physically and it was making me quite anxious and I really felt quite edgy. Plus, I'm meeting this girl who I thought was quite attractive and didn't know how that was going to go. So I actually decided, look, I'll just tell her the truth and said, to be honest, I'm feeling a bit edgy. And she said, "Oh, yeah, so am I, And then I said, "All right, well, look, why don't we just go have some fun? There's a great museum down the road I reckon you'd really love. So why don't we go check it out?" And she's like, "Yeah, that sounds cool." And it sort of set the tone for us to just connect really deeply and very quickly the rest of the day. So, you really got to go with your intuition as to how you relate to someone when you're first meeting them because, it's not appropriate to always spill stuff. It can be quite overwhelming to someone who doesn't know you yet. But
I get a sense that it's, I get a sense just, sorry to interrupt you, but I just feel like it, because I've experienced that both ways around. I've experienced being real and people running away, especially women. And I've also experienced being real and people opening and, almost within a few minutes of each other, that sort of dynamic. And Denise Cook runs a workshop that I've done a couple of times called Pathways to Intimacy. It's a one-day workshop, and I've done it twice. Last time I was there, someone asked her this question about being nice. And what she said was so true. She said, "Look, as a woman, I can feel you energetically. And if you're being nice to me and that's not congruent with what I sense unconsciously, I'll spot it a mile away." And it's like almost like a woman has a bullshit detector. I think we all do, but maybe women are more sensitive. And that lack of congruence between what's coming out of the mouth and what can be felt from the heart feels really, it feels like that's what you were describing, that you're authentic. And I feel that the difference between when women have run away and when they haven't, and when they've opened towards me, partly it depends on who the other person is, but also it feels like if I'm comfortable with my discomfort and I'm okay with the fact that I'm uncomfortable, then it's okay with other people. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing because we're trained to not. Oh, I feel like I have been trained to not actually expose what's really going on for me, and I think I just inherited that from a family environment where that's how people related, and so I took that as being the way that you did it, and I didn't even think about that. It just happened by osmosis, like I just by being around it. And then I went out into the world and found I didn't really connect with people all that well, and I didn't really know why. And now I'm finding that I don't really want to do that anymore because it doesn't lead to very fulfilling relationships, conversations, interactions, whatever. So the more I'm actually open with people and real with them, the better things tend to go.
I hope to that.
Yeah. And the times that it doesn't go so well, I recognize that it's because it's triggered something in the other person, or I haven't expressed it in a way that was very accessible, or I still make mistakes. I'm actually giving up the whole perfectionism thing. And I had a conversation with my father recently where I said this to him, that, look, I'm giving up that idea of being perfect. And if, so if I've said things that have hurt you or my mother or my sisters, then, I'm sorry for that. And unfortunately, it's going to happen because I'm a human being, and I'm going to stop pretending that I'm perfect and that I'm always going to have to get it right, especially when I'm trying relating to somebody in a new way that I haven't had a lot of practice with at.
Makes sense.
So
I had a,
what was it
yeah.
about the William White Cloud workshop you think that made this shift for you?
That's a good question. And I think it was twofold. I mean, there's so many different threads and angles, but the one that feels relevant right now is that each one of us as humans on this earth has, I mean, William White Cloud quoted Osho, who was asked, "Tell us the truth," by a disciple when he didn't know what to say. Some cheeky guy shouted from the back. He said, "I don't know what to say." "Well, tell us the truth." And Osho said, "If I tell you the truth, you wouldn't be ready for it." And the truth that he shared was, "Well, you're actually all gods." And when William said it in the group, I actually just felt, yeah, this is true. So on one hand, to acknowledge that I am someone with way more capacity than I can even imagine to play, to love, to live, to create in the world. And, if you'd said that to me 2 years ago, I would have probably thought, oh, this guy's full of shit. Who does he think he is? And that's a reaction that's common from people who are in denial of their powerful essential nature, as I was. And the other side of it was to also acknowledge the fact that, from birth, we all have wounding, and so a small example could be baby cries. Mum puts down her, mum's carrying a hot cup of tea, doesn't want to burn the baby, takes 10 seconds to put that down on the side, and then goes to pick the baby up. And the baby's then, unconsciously feeling, oh, the cup of tea's more important than me to my mum. And, there's a little wound comes in, let alone, bigger wounds. So we all have our divine nature, and we all have our wounding. And the sort of the gap between those, or the wound creates, is this edginess, this feeling of tension, and it's everywhere, and everybody feels it, but people suppress it with drugs, or they suppress it with shopping or sex or whatever. They don't want to feel that discomfort. And what I learned was that the key to a magician's power is in feeling that discomfort and being able to hold themselves in that creative, in the force of that creative field of energy, and that the wound itself doesn't have to be healed to go away, to be whole. It's like Chiron, the mythological wounded healer, where that wound is where the power is. And for me, I was lucky enough to go up on the stage and be called on my shit by the whole group. They just intuitively read me and said what they saw, and they could see all my strategies, they could see all my games, they could see where I'm arrogant, they could see where I don't believe in myself, and they could also see my godlike essence, nature, the fact that I'm a powerful creator. And for me, just to receive that and be seen in all of myself, with all my shit and all my glory and all of it, was just deeply healing. And I felt so much trust. And it's like, once I've been called on wearing my masks, it's kind of like, well, there's no point wearing them anymore because everyone can see through them. So those themes were really strong. And another, I guess, something you mentioned earlier about creating connecting the kind of experience that you have in the outer world through what's going on inside was the first secret of the seven secrets. And the first secret of magic is that your focus creates your reality. Uh-huh. So, and we, most of us are very powerful, but unconsciously. So, you know, we create our lives, but we don't know that we're doing it. So this process has been about addressing what's going on there and working with that.
The full interview is available as part of the Confident Man program at confidentman.net/program.